This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every single time I look up at the TV, I'm seeing one of two things. Either the Tomáš Hertl double overtime shorthanded game winner that propelled the Sharks and Golden Knights into a Game 7 scenario coming up on Tuesday. I keep seeing that over and over and over and over again. Or I'm seeing highlights, and actually I think the full broadcast now, of the Warriors-Clippers game. It's some kind of a weekend in the NBA and the NHL, and it's one of the reasons that I love April. So we've also got to add the NFL draft into the mix this week. So how about that? We are now just days away from the NFL draft. And if you hadn't heard the news, I will be actually changing time slots on Thursday. Just for Thursday. It's not going to be permanent because we don't actually have a show that runs during the NFL draft in its entirety. What we have is a special draft show that I'll be hosting with Mark Melusis. Moose, as he's known here on CBS Sports Radio. So he normally does the morning show, East Coast morning show. So it starts at 6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 a.m. Pacific. He and Taz, they have the morning show, but he and I will be teaming up for a broadcast that will run through the first round of the NFL draft. I have never done anything like this before. So I wouldn't say I'm freaking out over it, but I'm amping up the preparation. I'm one of those people that gets over-prepared instead of relying on whatever knowledge I might have, which is great and all. But this is the type of show where there's so many potential ways that you could see teams go. There's so many players that I'm not completely familiar with. And so I'm really excited to kind of dive into my research and find the human interest stories. And then we'll rely on the scouts. And the guys who've watched tape, guys and gals who've watched tape, to talk about the strengths and weaknesses of these players who will be drafted in this first round. So I am thankful it's only the first round because the NFL draft seems to stretch on forever and ever. But you know, they've made that first round now prime time on a Thursday. And so we'll be on the air from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. All right, so that we will essentially be on the air during the first round of the NFL draft. So if you don't have the option of watching on TV, or if you prefer to listen to us anyway, you can tune in to CBS Sports Radio with our special draft coverage. And yeah, you'll have to let me know what you think because I've never done anything like this before, but I am looking forward to it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So right now on Twitter, you can vote in our latest MCM poll, our latest Man Crush Monday poll, which does in fact feature Tomáš Hertl, fifth goal of the series between the Sharks and the Knights. And actually, this is, according to the NHL, they did their research at the NHL offices. It is the first ever shorthanded goal to be scored in double overtime or later, meaning it's the first ever overtime winner once they got past the first period. It's never handed before, or never handed before, haha. It's never happened before that a guy has scored a shorthanded goal to end a playoff game in double overtime or later. The Sharks have actually played in a four overtime game not that long ago in the postseason. Well, and obviously in the postseason, they don't do four overtime, sadly, in the regular season. But I guess it's better to save all the drama for the Stanley Cup playoffs. So elimination games coming up in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference on Tuesday. That's going to be a fantastic night. So find us on Twitter. Vote for Man Crush Monday. And also, we've got the Nick Nurse meme that you're sending us captions to go along with it. You know what it reminded me of? I finally figured out. I mentioned The Office, but isn't there a Chris Pratt gif from The Office in which he's got his mouth wide open? It's not?
Chris Pratt is Parks and Rec.
Oh, Parks and Rec. I'm sorry. Shoot. Pop culture, not so much my department. But isn't there a gif, though, in which he's like turning his head and his mouth is wide open? It's similar to Nick Nurse. Maybe we need to put those two side by side because I feel like that's where this was a little familiar to me because I love Chris Pratt. So you can send us your captions for the Nick Nurse meme that is all the rage now, except don't ask Coach Nurse because he has no idea what meme means. Meme means, oh, don't say that five times fast. And he also thinks it's a good thing to be trending, which I guess that depends upon your perspective.
On a little more lighter note, were you aware that you were trending for your reaction to the 3-second call in the first quarter?
I wasn't aware of that. Is that a good thing? Is trending a good thing?
What would you tell him? Is trending a good thing or is it a bad thing? I guess it depends on your perspective.
Depends on the reason.
If you're Brian and you're trending, that's probably a good thing because he's making waves on the internet. If you are Russell Westbrook and you're trending for being sullen and surly and refusing to answer questions at a post-game press conference with the Oklahoma City Thunder, well, then trending is maybe not such a great thing.
Is trending a good thing?
Such a good question. I don't think it's rhetorical either. I think he really wants an answer. Is trending a good thing? Oh! Such a good face. I mean, I don't know how long you can hold that oh, but it makes me want to yawn to look at him. So do you guys, I don't know if this is an issue for anyone else. This is why I can't look at it for very long because it makes me want to yawn. I have the compulsive need to yawn whenever I see someone else yawning or when I think about someone else yawning. This is bad. And it's not actually funny. And I know tears come out of your eyes, la, la, la. My brother used to torture me on road trips. He wouldn't even have to yawn. He would just look at me, kind of part his lips like he was about to do the Nick Nurse. Oh, and I would just start yawning. It was, Brian! That is so mean. No, don't do that. Bro, see what I mean? Oh, sorry. That's Brian's fault. I can't help it. It's compulsive with me. If you ever do that again, you're never working on the show again. I can't be yawning on the air. So this is why I can't look at Nick Nurse. Because every time I look at Nick Nurse, to me, it looks like he's caught in the midst of a giant yawn. And so, yeah, I'm having a hard time. I do love the meme, and I do think Nick Nurse is hysterical. And the fact that he went so giant open-mouthed on a 3-second violation just seemed like he was wasting it pretty early on. But yeah, every time I scroll down past the meme, it makes me want to yawn, which is not great radio. So I'm just going to stop thinking about it as much as I possibly can. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I brought up Russell Westbrook for a reason. Now, we could actually debate over and over the way that he's played in this series. He really did struggle in game four, but there were a bunch of superstars in the NBA who struggled actually over the weekend. But in the case of Russell Westbrook, he started by missing his... He started out okay. He faded down the stretch. He started the second half 0 for 7, missed his final 10 shots of the game. And so in a must-have in which the Thunder pulled within single digits in the fourth quarter, it was early in the fourth quarter when they managed to chop that lead into single digits, he was nowhere to be found. Meanwhile, you have Damian Lillard, who scores 15 of his points in the third quarter after he started out slowly. So you would think that there's a whole lot that concerns one Russell Westbrook. And instead, he's still, and I'm going to call them antics, he's still sticking to his guns and pulling these antics at the press conferences. Now, if you don't know the backstory, Was it? I don't think it was last year's playoffs, but it might have been. It was a recent playoff run in which a reporter in Oklahoma, whose name is Barry Trammell, I worked with him at one of my radio stations that I worked at in Oklahoma, and I know him very well. He was asking Stephen Adams about why the Thunder played so poorly when Russ was out of the game. All right, so this may have been 2 years ago because I don't know that Paul George was there yet. So it was their last postseason before George got traded to Oklahoma City, which would have been 17, maybe? And so Trammell's asking this question of Stephen Adams, but Russ is sitting right there. So Russ takes exception. He won't let Stephen Adams answer. And I believe that's where we came up with the whole, I don't want nobody to try to break us up kind of a thing. I mean, he was really angry at the line of questioning and felt like the media was trying to pit teammates against one another. And so he got upset. And at that point, kind of changed how he was answering questions. And it's not just Barry Trammell. He's been really cryptic and tight-lipped about answering any questions from the media over the last couple of years. And he's made it very clear that he is not going to do it with any type of joy. He's going to answer questions under duress. And when Trammell asks him questions, very often, he just completely ignores it. He won't actually answer the question. If he's lucky, Trammell will get, and I'm being facetious, I'm using my air quotations. If he's lucky, Barry Trammell will get the response, a muttered next question. And actually, Paul George is doing it now too, which is really odd. I don't know what Paul George has, why he has an axe to grind. Other than these two are running mates. Thank you. Chris looked up the exact date. It was literally 2 years ago, Monday. Well, Tuesday. 2 years ago, Tuesday, April 23rd, 2017, with Stephen Adams and Russell Westbrook. And we talked about it at the time that it happened. Because Russ wouldn't let Adams answer the question. But it's been going on now for 2 years where the Thunder haven't asked Russ or haven't instructed Russ to answer questions, to stop avoiding questions asked of the media, but to stop being rude. In my opinion, it's rude. And so I'd love to hear your perspective, and I'll give you mine once we come back from our next break. Do athletes have a responsibility to speak to the media? Now, the league's mandate access to athletes. But in your opinion, should the athlete have to talk? Or should he be able to sit there, not say a word, ignore the questions, and say, at the very least, next question, or just act like he is completely oblivious that he was asked a question at all? In professional sports, where the playing as well as the promotion of the team, and I would say to a lesser extent the league, is very much connected to what these athletes do, should they have to talk to the media? Or do you think the media is ancillary? Does it not matter? These guys should be able to do whatever they want, and if they don't want to have to talk to the media, well, that's not their job. Their job is to play a sport, so who cares whether or not they speak to reporters? TV, radio, print, digital, anything. Keeping in mind that very often that's where you get your information. But do you care? Maybe you don't care what Russ has to say after a game. So the question is, should professional athletes, we're not going to worry about college athletes, that's a completely different animal. Professional athletes are paid to play a sport. Should talking to the media be part of that? Or should their responsibilities end once they're off the court or the ice or the field? Again, should pro athletes have to speak to the media? And I know athletes can use coach speak. Absolutely they can. We get it all the time from the majority of athletes out there. They're not going to throw teammates under the buses. They're not going to really give you a whole lot of information. They're certainly not going to share strategy. They're going to give you the easiest, most vanilla answers ever. But at least they're speaking. Now, not all athletes do that. I mean, Steph Curry's a great example. He'll just tell you. He doesn't care. He'll answer questions. In fact, he likes the media process, I think. And there are some athletes out there who do. But the ones who don't, they kind of plug their nose and deal with it. And then you have a Russ who just is flat out rude. In any other forum, I can't imagine you do that to another human being. Just ignore him. But in his professional forum, he gets away with it. Again, should athletes be compelled to speak to the media, be forced to speak to the media, or should their responsibilities end when they're done playing? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well. We have a lot going on this show. Makes the time go fast.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll spend some time in Toronto because there's a lot happening there. On the sports scene, you've got the Raptors closing in on a first-round playoff series victory, and this is the Kawhi Leonard year. Will there be more years? Kind of depends on, I think it's probably still up in the air. Kind of depends on how things go in Toronto, but also how things go elsewhere. Lots to consider if you're Kawhi Leonard or any of the myriad of free agents who will be looking for new contracts and maybe new homes come the offseason. And then we'll talk about the Maple Leafs Bruins series in which we haven't had a back-to-back winner yet. And so you've got these two teams that have each won on the other's ice in the other's arena and haven't been able to put together consecutive wins. And those game seven is coming up on Tuesday along with the Sharks and the Golden Knights. So different history and tradition in these two series. With the Sharks and the Golden Knights, it only stretches back 2 years. However, it's nasty and it's physical and it's contemptuous. With Boston and Toronto, you're talking about two franchises who have a recent history, but also who have some of the oldest history in the NFL. And did I say NFL? Oh my gosh, NHL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I mean, it's just one little letter. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you're wondering about their recent history, the Maple Leafs lost to the Bruins in 7 games in both 2013 and 2018. Ouch. Will they do it again? All right, we're asking you right now about the responsibility of pro athletes when it comes to speaking to the media. Should pro athletes be compelled, forced, to speak to the media after games? And I don't just mean show up. I don't mean just show up and sit there. I mean, should they have to answer questions like professionals? Or should their responsibilities end once they step off the court, the ice, or the field? If they want to disappear, if they want to get out of there, if they don't want to answer questions, if they're forced to come to the press room, but all they're going to say is next question, is that okay with you? Again, it's 855-212-4227. It's a really fascinating discussion between former players. As you know, they inhabit the Inside the NBA on TNT set. And very often, Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley do not agree. So we wanted you to hear what they have to say, and then we can talk about it a little bit more.
All right, this Barry Trammell, Russell Westbrook thing continues. Most of the time, he just says next question when Barry Trammell asks him a question. Today, he said, good question, I don't know.
Well, first of all, that's unprofessional. You have to ask. Part of our job is to talk to the press. We don't make $30, $40 million just to play basketball. People are going to interrupt you when you have dinner. You have to sign autographs. You have to take pictures. And some of that other stuff is talking to the press. Russ has got to do better. Russ is a great dude. And just because a reporter says something bad about you, you don't get the right to just say next question.
Well, I will say this. You know, that happened to me in Houston. There was a reporter, Fran Blanberry,
And he had wrote an article, and I didn't appreciate the article. And so I decided I wouldn't talk to him. I said I didn't appreciate the article. Now, like about maybe 6 months into it, I would not talk to this guy. And then I realized I was wrong. I did realize I was wrong in this sense, because it's his opinion. It's his job to write his opinion. Because I don't agree with his opinion doesn't mean I don't have the right to talk to him. I could then express my opinion, and then I could have it out. But I don't have to avoid it. It actually became more difficult avoiding him than actually speaking to him, because he covered the team. And so I was wrong in that instance. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to start talking to him and not let that hinder me from being the person I am.
I'm going to disagree with both of y'all, because I was Russell Westbrook. Sensitive. And if I don't want to talk to you, I don't have to talk to you. Our job is to talk to the media. I don't have to talk to one particular guy.
Mm. So Shaquille O'Neal there at the end, along with Kenny and Charles, and then, of course, Ernie at the beginning on the set of Inside the NBA on TNT. So interesting perspective from Kenny, who says he, for 6 months, refused to talk to a particular reporter who wrote an opinion that he didn't agree with, but then he realized he was wrong. That reporter was doing his job or her job, and even if he didn't agree with it, it didn't mean that he could then ignore that particular member of the media, because the media has a job to do. Barkley, as only Barkley can, points to the $30 to $40 million that these, not all of them make that kind of money, but the superstars do. The ones that are in demand, the ones that are frequently asked to speak to the media, they do make that kind of money. And Barkley says, our jobs do not end when we step off the court. Very often we're recognized in public, we're asked for pictures, we're asked for selfies, we're asked for autographs at dinner, and we're asked to talk to the media. And I think it's interesting how many of you fans are telling me, at least initially here on social media, that the players shouldn't have to speak to the media. You know what? If they don't speak to the media, you don't know anything about them. You don't get their reaction to what happened post-game. You do realize that all of the reaction, whether it be in post-game interviews right there on the court or the ice or the field, or whether it be in press rooms after the fact, or whether it be in locker room scrums, you know that's where you get access to the information, right? I mean, if you're serious about telling me you don't think athletes should have to speak to the media, where are you going to get your post-game reaction? Where are you going to get Baker Mayfield saying he woke up feeling dangerous? Where are you going to get Klay Thompson saying it was a dip in the Pacific Ocean that helped me to reset and get ready for a big performance in tonight's game? Where are you going to get all that? So think about it before you talk, before you write. If you don't think athletes should have to speak to the media, well, then you should be prepared not to have nearly as much information. You won't get the explanations. You won't get the conversations that take you inside a locker room or inside the strategy or inside the minds of an athlete, the minds of athletes after a big game, whether it be a win or a loss. So I appreciate the wisdom, the experience of the guys who've done it before, who've played before, but also as a member of the media who's been in locker rooms, who's had athletes here on the show. I certainly understand that they have to be cryptic sometimes and maybe not give away everything. But also, the media isn't an enemy. I mean, you don't have to like everything we talk about or everything we say, but honestly, why do you care? I mean, come on. A lot of people say things about me that I don't like. I can't fight all those battles. You have to choose your battles. Who cares what somebody's opinion is? But also, the media helps you promote your platform. The media helps you, social media as well, helps you get your message out there. Oh, and how about sell your fashion, Russell Westbrook? The media can be a helper as well as being a detriment. So again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, we're going to spend some time in Toronto. We're getting set for Game 7 in hockey, but also, are the Raptors about to take this to the next level in the NBA?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
into the lane to Siakam. Short corner, far side, right wing. Raptors in the block, coming right to left. Leonard up top. Knocked away by Fournier, gets it back. Three in the air, good. Down the bottom of the well with a clenched fist from Kawhi Leonard, 68-52. Kawhi Leonard showing Sherm he plays both ends of the floor.
At an elite level too, Jonesy.
Drives, lays it up and in, says I got this one. 17-point lead for Toronto. Timeout Orlando, 92-75 Raptors.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Raptors are one win away from the second round of the NBA postseason, and the Maple Leafs will have to travel to Boston for a Game 7 on Tuesday. And what a series it has been between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. A back-and-forth situation. Neither team has won two games in a row. They both won on the other team's home ice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Paul Jones is the voice of the Raptors on their radio network. Kawhi Leonard with 34 points, 6 rebounds, and really the Raptors are overwhelming the Magic. We're pleased to welcome Greg Brady, who is an AM Drive host on Toronto's The Fan 590, so getting set for his morning show. And I'm not really sure if we should start with the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, or we should start with the Raptors. But since we just heard from Paul Jones, why don't we start there? Kawhi Leonard obviously is a force to be reckoned with. But when you look at this team versus the playoff team that ran into the Cavaliers a year ago, what's the biggest difference between where the Raptors are now and where they were then?
Well, yeah, there's two things. One is that they know they don't have to succumb to the fate of LeBron James. I mean, that's the big problem for this team. The other is probably the emergence of Pascal Siakam as a starting forward, and not just the guy. He was coming off the bench last year in the playoffs. So they've added Marc Gasol, but I actually think Siakam and where he's been in the last 12 months, Amy, and where he's gone to as being just a phenomenal option, not just a guy to spell the starters, not just a guy to be relied on for some secondary scoring. He's the primary player. I don't think that they quite saw his emergence. And there's obviously some GMs where he was drafted down in the low teens a few years ago that passed on him that greatly regret it. That can happen in the NBA draft. But I also think he's shown that he's maybe not just the second best option for this team, but at times when Kawhi hasn't played this year, and I know I've talked to you about that before with the load management, Siakam's been their best scoring option, and I don't think we saw that coming 12 months ago.
Okay, so I have to ask, though, about the first factor. Are you really telling me that the team is better because they know they don't have to face LeBron James? That sounds like a mental block to me.
But it was. It was definitely that. They were 2-12 against him in playoff games going into last summer, which was a big reason, I think, for the two changes, not just Dwayne Casey not being
here. Kawhi Leonard has nothing to do with that, though.
Well, it helps. No, but I think they made that move after. They made that move before, knowing really the impact that the other teams would have in the conference. I think we all thought Boston would be more of a regular season force. Now, believe me, you're probably forecasting it like I am. Bucks-Celtics is going to be a remarkable series. I don't think the Raptors will maybe not be the favorite against either of those teams, even though they'll have home advantage against Boston. They'd have to start on the road against Milwaukee. I mean, this isn't the series they got Kawhi Leonard for to play a 500 Orlando Magic team, but nonetheless, I think they've got more confidence that they're not getting drummed in the second round by one of the greatest players ever. They're not worried about that this year.
Well, how do they match up against, it may be the Sixers, the Nets are still alive, but how do they match up against Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's a good question. They've had great success this year in the regular season against Philly. They've been very, very good against them. Kyle Lowry really gets up for those games. Philly guy, Villanova guy. He had 0 points in the first game. And I was surprised in our city how people, I think for someone who's accomplished as much as Kyle Lowry has in the playoffs and as a five-time All-Star, I was a little surprised people were worried about his game or how's he going to respond in game two. Well, he's going to get more than 0 points in game two. That might be my answer. But I think for the most part, they've played really well against Philly. And Marc Gasol, that's a big answer for Joel Embiid. That's a big, big answer and a big reason they went and got him at the deadline.
Mm. Greg Brady with us from Toronto and the Fan 590 getting set for his own morning show. Lots to talk about when it comes to Toronto sports. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't even know how fans have the time. All the thousands of fans who stand around the arena and spend their evenings cheering and screaming, whether it's for the Raptors, whether it's for the Maple Leafs. I feel like they need to get jobs or something. No, I'm kidding. But it does seem like they are there every single night. But what's the bigger buzz right now? Is it the Raptors or is it the Maple Leafs?
Well, the Leafs have obviously been around a lot longer. There's been a lot more, I would argue, pain and suffering for the franchise. No Stanley Cup final appearances since 1967. That's not just the Flyers getting there and losing or the Buffalo Sabres getting there and losing. People, I mean, I haven't been alive. Most of my contemporaries have not been alive the last time they did it. So it's not like, gee, what will it feel like to win the Stanley Cup final? And now, Andy, you've got a team that hasn't won a first round in 15 years. They've got one of the longest playoff round droughts. So there was a lot of anticipation yesterday. Your home, matinee game, national TV on both sides of the border. You can close it out against the Boston Bruins. You get the first goal, no less, early in the first period, and you still end up on the losing end of it with a Brad Marchand empty net goal. So there's panic. They lost last year in Boston in seven games.
Right.
No team's ever lost three series, or no team has lost three game sevens to the same team in a seven-year span since the 1950s when there were only six teams, and you had a good chance of playing one another in the playoffs pretty regularly. So there's a lot of panic. People didn't want to see Boston in this Stanley Cup playoff, and if Boston goes out, that means the teams with the three highest points, Tampa Bay, Calgary, and Boston, all go out. So there's a lot of numbers that just work against the history of the Maple Leafs winning this series, and especially the fact now that they blew an opportunity at home yesterday to end it and go on in a wide-open Stanley Cup playoff now, I think we'd all agree.
For people who don't know, the Maple Leafs did lose to the Bruins last spring in seven games and also back in 2013. That's what Greg's talking about. So you're telling me then that the ghosts of the Bruins and the way that they have treated the Maple Leafs in the postseason is kind of like LeBron with the Raptors when they met in a third year in a row last spring.
Yeah, I think if LeBron James showed up at TD Garden in Boston waving the Bruins flag before the game, they'd be happy with Bobby Orr or Ray Bourque. They'd be happy. Like people believe in ghosts in this city. It's the biggest city in Canada, and we believe in the supernatural when it comes to sports. Even though, like you said, it's nice. It's late April. Things are going well. The teams have ambitions and aspirations, but everyone's waiting for the worst thing to happen when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, it seems sometimes.
All right, so neither team has been able to win back-to-back games, but each team has gone into the other's house and won twice, actually. So I'm not sure the home ice matters at all. Is there any type of an optimism then, knowing that the Maple Leafs have already won in Boston?
Oh, no question. I mean, yeah, they're 2-1 playing in Boston in this series so far. They had to win Game 5 last year in Boston to come back to Game 6, win there, and force the Game 7 that happened last year. So yeah, I think there's confidence. I think Boston should have a slight advantage with their crowd. But, yeah, NHL Game 7s are nothing like NBA Game 7s. It's about 54-55% of the time you win at home in the last 20 years. NBA is a strict, 83-84%. It's a big story when an NBA team loses a Game 7 at home, little less than the NHL. That's why Vegas is probably just as confident going against San Jose after that double overtime game last night. They've already won twice in San Jose also, so they don't care where they play. It's and you get to host, like I said, you get to host Columbus. There was a lot of concern that this would be a nice step for a young, talented Leafs team to go win a round, but then you're probably not going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round. And like I said, all that's changed with the Lightning losing.
So I was pretty thankful that I was coming to work after the Knights and the Sharks played into double overtime, because not only was I having heart palpitations, but there was no way I could have gone to bed. How did you manage to sleep at all after that game if you stayed up until the end?
Yeah, I tend to drift off. I've got an ability to drift off anywhere, anytime. It's not it's not narcolepsy, but it's close. You know, we get our sleep, Amy, when we can. So yeah, I was hoping it wasn't leaning towards triple overtime. And think about how, you know, the fact it started at 7 Eastern, I've seen very little of this series. You've probably seen more of it than me with the 10 o'clock, 10:30 start. It's on while you're working or while you're coming to work. It was great to actually watch that series. And I got a soft spot for Joe Thornton. He grew up near where I grew up. don't know him, but for all the playoff games and all the wars he's been through in the postseason, you never know when Joe's going to hang it up. He's had a lot of injury worries the last few years, so I'd love to see San Jose. Vegas was a great story last year, but I'd love to see the Sharks get through.
Greg Brady with us here for just a couple more minutes before we hit the top of the hour. I'm literally not kidding. We have 2 minutes. What's the sense in Toronto? I saved the best for last. What's the sense in Toronto about Kawhi Leonard and his future with the Raps?
I've seen some people say, I'm still really skeptical he's staying, Amy, and that's not to, you know, throw a bucket of cold water on what could be a next fun several weeks for the Raptors. I do think there's anticipation, like I said, about the next round. I think there's a super confident vibe if the Raptors inevitably play the 76ers. I think there'd be more worry about a game 7 in Milwaukee against Giannis, against the Celtics, who they really haven't seen in the playoffs, but they've seen Kyrie Irving before in the playoffs when he was with Cleveland, and he was very, very good. That's a tough matchup for Kyle Lowry, obviously. It's not anybody has a tough matchup against Kyrie Irving this time of year, the way he's playing this round. So I think for the most part, there's a fear that he's going back to Los Angeles, that the Clippers are front and center, not the Lakers, obviously, but the Clippers. And it was, you know, is it a gamble worth doing? If they make the NBA Finals, for sure. If they fall next round, there's going to be a lot of questions to Masai Ujiri about why he did the trade, because DeMar DeRozan was never going to leave here.
Right.
And I know that's a nice player. He's not Kawhi Leonard, but they really, he was a real crowd favorite, a real guy that says, no, I want to keep being a Toronto Raptor. And as you know, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Chris Bosh, we've had our share of heartbreak when free agency comes.
All right, we'll see. At least we don't have to deal with that for a couple more months, the potential heartbreak. But we'll see how this road ends for the Raptors and the Maple Leafs, potentially with championships or potentially not, which is how it ends for most of the teams, right? So you can find Greg on Twitter at Greg Brady TO, and he'll be on the Fan 590 in Toronto coming up in 35 minutes. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, Greg.
Oh, pleasure, Amy. Anytime. Love it.
It's as I was talking to Greg, I was thinking, oh man, it's a situation that has the potential for all kinds of excitement, but also has the potential for utter heartbreak if it happens again. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the Raptors do move on, but they lose in the second round, which is where they lost last year. And then the Maple Leafs trip up against the Bruins again. Oh, ouch. Ouch, I'm rooting for you, Toronto. I want you to be happy. It's like Cleveland when they've been the lovable losers for so long. I want you to have a reason to be happy and to cheer. All right, we got 1 hour to go. Game 7's on the brain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.